Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres continue their series in Philadelphia against the Phillies, and we've got Mike Gianella and Bill Center here to talk Padres and make fun of Blooper.
Blooper says that's correct, and if Blooper says it,
it's true.
It must be true.
We've also got Brady Phelps on set, who's also here to talk Padres, but defend Blooper.
I defend him like he's my own child. You know, I love everything he says. So does everybody.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Gianella, Bill Center, and Brady Phelps.
Well, if you love Blooper so much like your own child, just you guys want to get your own show, and Bill and I will do our own show?
Oh, man, that was one of the funniest intros I've ever heard in a complete fabrication.
Welcome to Padre Social Hour. Here inside the AMR studio, I'm Mike Gianella, the blooper-loving Brady Phelps, and Bill Center.
They are very much the same lunatic.
What?
Cut from the same cloth.
Right.
Takes one to know one.
Thank you, William. Welcome. I love me some blooper, but those words were
misconstrued, taken out of context,
just a tiny
maybe.
Bit.
We're getting you set for Padres and Phillies, game two of their series in Philadelphia. That's coming our way at 4:05 is first pitch. Robbie Erlen, Charlie Morton. And the Padres, another spoiler yesterday, guys, with that opening day win. The second time this year they've gone to someone else's park and said, we don't care about your opening day. We're here to win. They unfortunately couldn't do that for their own opening day here.
It would have been nice if they had that same attitude at Petco.
A reminder, before we jump into talking about that game yesterday, join in the conversation yourself. Use hashtag PadresSH and also join the live chat at Padres.com/social hour. It was a weird game yesterday, guys. A game-winning bunt squeeze, that infield fly rule that no one knew what was going on. It was fun, though, and a win.
Right. Most of all, the umpire didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. The one person that you would hope did.
Right.
But.
Right. I mean, Ramirez is retreating with his back to the plate. That's not an infield fly.
He's still backpedaling right now for that ball.
Right.
So let's talk. It was a 4-3 win yesterday for the Padres, and that one run obviously made a huge difference. And let's recap that play. It was the infield fly rule was called, so it was the sixth inning. Brad Hand comes on, the only pitch he throws of the game, and it's Darren Ruff with the bases loaded, nobody out, pops up to shallow left. Will Myers is out on Broad Street, has no idea where the ball is. Alexi Ramirez in shallow left doesn't find it either. They call the infield fly rule right away, which means that the batter's automatically out. Runners advance at their own peril, and the runners did. And who was that? Was it Herrera over at third base that was the one who got tagged out by Alexi Amarista?
Barely, by the way.
Right.
Alexi wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, Alexi steps on third, thinking maybe force out. Just instinctively was the big word in yesterday's recaps. Puts the glove out and kind of just tags Herrera. Just
barely.
Let me put my glove here, whatever. And that ended up being the big difference because it was not a force out. It was a tag out. And chaos ensues.
Absolutely. It should have. I mean, quite honestly, that's not an infield fly.
You mean just because he had to backpedal like 600 feet?
That wasn't and I think once you turn your back on the ball, and I mean, once you turn your back on home plate, you're not in the infield anymore. You're in the outfield.
Right.
He's in the outfield.
Everything about that play as it went down, I mean, my favorite thing to do is to rewatch it and just look only at Will Myers.
Plus.
Right, his arms wide out, like, where am I?
But I mean,
what do I do with my hands?
Good on him in letting his team know, like, hey, I'm not a part of this play. You know, like, I don't know, I can't see the ball, obviously. And Alexi backpedaling, and I mean, the whole thing just screams. Like, my guess is that this will, start the conversations of, is the infield fly rule legitimate, and should it even be in play at all?
Oh, it has to be in play.
And, however, if it is ever in question, this is the play they're going to use
and first, let's,
to question it.
Before we get to that debate, a reminder that it's not doesn't have to be on the infield. A lot of people were confused about that.
No.
The rule says that it has to be played by an infielder. So, technically,
anytime,
if the ball's in the warning track in the outfield, it could still be an infield fly.
Anytime an infielder can make a routine play on a pop-up, it's an infield fly.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's not routine.
Right. Once he turned around, that thing to your point.
But that play start even before that. I was already going, holy cow, to see Darren Ruff, who's a good hitter against left-handed pitching, pinch hit for Ryan Howard, who is one of their franchise, you know, all-time players. I mean, I know
he's a corpse of what he used to be.
Right, I mean, that
he's
never would have happened 4 years ago.
But still, I mean, to see Ryan Howard pinch hit for in that situation, I was still like going, I was looking through my book saying, gosh, how many times has he been pinch hit for?
Yeah, well, that's what, I mean, Mackinnon there, he's kind of like Andy Green, this new wave of managers. They'll do their platoons. They'll do their pinch hitting. They don't care the defensive shifts. It's not about that kind of
you
superstar
think he heard about that
anymore.
From Ryan Howard afterwards?
Beforehand, I bet, too, or in the
I
process,
would, yeah,
I'm
I wouldn't
sure.
be surprised. My, right. I mumbled in my when I saw that happen, I was like, oh, how the mighty have fallen.
And right. he's still getting paid. That's a right. very expensive six-inning player.
Right. Now, he was terrible last year against left-handed pitching. Yeah. No question.
Right.
So.
I mean, the if you look at the numbers, it was a no-brainer decision right. to right. pinch hit him, but it is still Ryan Howard.
Right.
You know, and yeah. there's probably a lot of ego involved there as well.
All right. Let's stoke this infield fly rule fire because I think that's
gotcha.
More fun. Bill, I saw you have some interaction with A.J. Casavell on Twitter yesterday. He covers the Padres for MLB.com.
Right.
And he had an opinion. He says, here's an opinion that no one agrees with. That's great for him to share then anyway.
Right.
But he's held it all along. Infield fly rule shouldn't exist at all. Just get rid of it.
AJ's totally wrong. I mean, and I'm sorry he's that – I mean, to be that far off base. If you didn't have the infield fly rule, you would have triple plays and double plays up the wazoo.
Pitchers would love it.
The pitchers would love it. The defense loves yeah. it. Anytime the bases
– Fans
would,
love right. triple plays.
Anytime you'd have runners on first and second – you'd have guys knocking down line drives, and they try to get away with that right now. And the umpire, you know, makes right. the right call, saying you cannot do that.
That part is subjective. Line
right,
drive
right.
versus
right.
pop up.
But a pop yeah. up, anytime there's a pop up and there's two guys on, it's a triple play.
Yeah, there are so many shenanigans would
right.
happen if. Which like,
isn't that I, fun though?
Right,
like
I
just
know,
get
I
rid
know.
Of the rules and let the players decide for themselves.
No.
And kind
I,
of.
I know. Kind of like the idea of the shenanigans, but. I think my more logical self would agree with Bill and say that AJ's nuts in this. And that's, you know, because it takes baseball and skill out of it and it turns it into a circus act, you know.
Right.
The one element, though, that I think, I mean, so much of baseball and the rules is that subjective element. It is up to the umpires to decide if it's playable by
right.
the infielder under a normal effort. That's tough to codify. It's also tough to see implemented, as we saw yesterday.
Right.
There's no win there.
That was totally not a normal effort. I mean, normally the left fielder comes in on that play, makes the catch, and the bases are still loaded because
right.
it's not deep enough to tag up. That was far from a normal play.
Now, one thing we haven't talked about, though, is that the Phillies runners, you know, part of this is on them, too. Like, it was a terrible call by the umpire. He should not have called the infield fly rule. But as soon as his hands go up, they need to understand they're now – going in which case the guy coming into third, he would have actually slid.
The rule says runners advance at their own risk,
right.
and you have to know. Even for Amarista, the tag, which was made basically
he got lucky.
Involuntarily,
right.
just kind
Very
of put his
lucky.
Glove up there. That's a thing as a fielder in that position. You should know, let me tag regardless, just in case there is no force out here, and he got super lucky. Both sides, the runners should know what the situation is, and the fielder should know the scenario as well.
Yeah.
You don't want to get caught looking the wrong way.
And although it was a fluky situation, I bet Andy Green was very unhappy that Amarista didn't know to put the tag down. He got lucky with it, you know, and because he's such a situational, you know, coach, and for him to just kind of casually be, he wasn't even looking at him.
Right. Yeah. Amarista looking
just
to the dugout and just
that's
has
what
his
you
glove.
Do in Little League.
Right.
You just kind of put your glove out. Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to tag you or not. You know.
Well, and I think the runner actually was coming from second because he saw the ball drop.
Right.
He didn't. I mean, he wasn't coming because of the infield. He wasn't trying to advance.
Well, yeah, he saw a drop, but like, why wasn't he putting in a little bit of effort?
Right.
He jogged
right.
in and didn't bother trying to avoid a
True.
Tag or anything.
True.
If he slides there, he's safe. And the inning
yeah.
continues.
And it's one out.
Yeah.
Right. But I think the runner's thinking, I'm going to get forced out here, which it would have been a force out. I'm thinking the runner's thinking that I'm.
He's
you know,
like, I'm going to get in more trouble if I just stay on the base.
Right,
I should at least try to advance.
I mean, this guy's caught totally in between.
Right.
He didn't. I mean, from the way he came in, I'm thinking he's thinking he knew he was going to be forced out.
But isn't it crazy that in 2016 that players, fans,
right, the infield fly is not new.
Nobody
right.
had
it's
any.
Been around right. forever, and no one.
I listened to Agler's call on the 1090. He goes, "That's a triple play." You know, he's right. like, I think it's a triple
right.
play. I mean, he was close. I mean, it was a double
well,
play, but I mean,
right.
it certainly wasn't just the one out.
But I can understand the fans because when you first saw it live, you didn't see the third base umpire signaling the infield fly.
Right. Yeah, but even once you did, it's not like you right. understood it anymore. I mean, there was still
as a player, though, the player should see that arm.
Right.
Those are
right.
the guys making this money, playing this game, being the ones who have a bearing on the result, they should be the ones paying attention.
The guy I hold responsible is the third base coach, because that's his job, is to watch the umpires on that type of a ball, and he should be stop sign to the guy coming down from second.
Yeah, or fire him immediately.
Or if he's come too far, get down, get slide, something. Yeah,
but I mean,
we are not advocating for any jobs lost, by the way.
Well,
I think the third base ump should go. I mean, you're gonna. I'm very.
You already got the replay official from that Spangenberg play in New York fired. Bill just has a warpath of lost jobs this season.
Blooper will tell you, anybody that sat here before. Are we still calling you a moderator, Becky? Or are we now using your real Nick Pat 8?
Blowing up spots.
Right. Anybody will tell you who sat here with me is that I do not like the umpires right now. I do not like the guy sitting in the official seat in New York.
And you do not like the co-host along with you.
Well, that goes without saying.
That's an understood. Other good things, just quick notes about the game yesterday. Alexi and Marista, also obviously that part in the play there, but the game-winning squeeze bunt, which was
great. And team leader in average. And I know you love that stat.
after one day, he's a team leader
in
average.
One for two, baby. 500 hitter.
That squeeze
bunt. You're normally on me because you think I love Amarista, so – We'll get into it later.
We can get into it later. I think the squeeze bunt was legit.
It was great. It was a tough pitch to bunt. It was a beautiful bunt.
In slow motion?
That pitch is diving.
Yeah, the bottom came out.
That was fell off a table, that pitch.
And he did that perfectly. He took the bat right down with the ball and put it on the ground. That was a great bunt.
No way that bunt happens if they didn't have a special bunting station installed in Peoria this year. No way.
Well, it hasn't worked greatly for the pitchers yet, but for Amarisa yesterday, it was very successful. To the point that it was the first game-winning bunt for the Padres in the seventh inning or later since Brad Ausmus dropped one down in 1995.
Right.
You were in
the
diapers.
Cardinals, May 15th. If I was, it was because of any –
What?
Advancement in my age problems. Okay. I was already 10 by then. If I was in diapers, I'd have bigger problems than that.
I think you hit on it, Brady.
Yeah, it's touching a nerve, bringing up bad childhood memories.
Sorry, bro.
And then the last thing, Bill, which I know you were very vehement about, was a lot of people wondering why put Myers in left field yesterday if he's not going to play first base. It's because he hit that home run. That's why you keep him in the game, even if he's not playing his natural position.
You keep your cleanup hitter in there as long as you can. You want Myers in. Today he's getting a day off. It's deserved. But
it's deserved the 7 days into the season.
I like this rotation. I think this.
You like having Brett Wallace as our cleanup hitter? No,
well, I mean, I like the idea, though, that you give guys days off early because that pays late.
He's so young. And he hit a home run, and it was so pretty.
He's also coming off major wrist surgery, and I still think it's a little early to play him every day. I really do.
Disagree, William.
Six, seven days in a row, that's fine. I mean, now that we get into this grind, maybe 10, 11, 12, I think you extend it out, but I think you also want to check in with him every once in a while.
I would like to check in with him tonight and see how he's doing on the bench, because I think that we're being deceived. I'm afraid that something a little more might be going on there.
I don't know about that, but, I mean, we'll find out in time. But I think I'm with Bill on this one. It's a bit more preventive than reactive, maybe.
You guys are a couple of Sallies. He should be playing. We're 7 days into the season.
It's a long season.
A rest game?
I'm young. I need some time off every once in a while, too. I can understand where he's coming from.
Listen to you. I'm young.
I'm just out of diapers, so I'm still young.
The last time the Padres got a sac bunt. For a win.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the pitching yesterday.
Plus, this has been a tough right-hander on the Padres, so, and on Myers. Go ahead.
You go. Yeah. Bill's on my team for once on this
double
one.
Double whammy.
Take that, Brady.
Sorry to jump in.
Talk pitching when we come back, but first a reminder. The Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is back this season. It's a pregame happy hour series every Friday, home game at Petco Park. Next up is Party in the Park this Friday when the Padres come home before they take on the D-backs at 7:40. Tickets at padres.com/party. We're talking the arms when we come back on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're back on Padres Social Hour, getting you set for Padres at Phillies. that game coming your way in less than an hour. We're back in the AMR studio and joining the conversation, all you fans online and a couple of folks chiming in on that discussion from the infield fly rule we had last half inning. We have Chris Freeman saying that was more of a terrible base running than a bad call. Situational awareness meltdown on the Phillies' part. So we touched upon that, and I think
I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Friars Baseballing quoting you, Brady, saying he's so young, so pretty. You said, I think it was Will Myers' swing that was pretty, right? Or the home run? Or did you actually say it's Will Myers himself was
pretty confident I was talking about Will, not just his swing. But I'm guessing this will be taken out of context later, and they're going to say that I was talking about Blooper. Which is not.
That's possible.
Well, the fact that you're calling Will Myers pretty.
Yeah, he is pretty. Okay.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, good looking guy. All right, let's move on. Let's
talk. Love me some Will Myers. You want to not move on? We can talk some more about how pretty he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good looking guy. He's handsome, and as long as he keeps hitting the ball like that, then hey, the more.
He's
kudos.
Only handsome if he hits the ball
he's
well, Mike?
Handsomer or more handsome?
The most handsomest?
Yeah, maybe.
I got a tweet yesterday from somebody saying that Will Myers will never hit for power. He'll never be a cleanup hitter. It's like, okay. Thank you.
He already is a cleanup hitter, and he hit a home run yesterday.
So take that. I hope you put them in their Twitter place, Bill.
Oh, he's got two.
Yeah, no, it's been great. All right, time now for a new segment we have, and it's called the Hero of the Game. And the hero yesterday, I think, the bullpen. They came in, and it was the first time this season, really, where they were entrusted with a lead in a tight game. They'd come in before, and they'd pitched well before, but they had to hold that down yesterday and end up securing that one-run win. And bullpen's been good, guys. It was 7 runs in that first game, which Luis Perdomo gave up 6 of those.
Right.
But since then, 22 2/3, only 6 runs allowed for this group. Bullpen's been good.
That was the first time, though, that it's really been in a clutch situation they've come through. And another strange statistical note on Brad Hand. One pitch, 2 outs, and he gets a blown save.
Yeah, imagine, right?
Right, right. I didn't think that would be possible.
Yeah, that's one for the record books for sure.
Right.
Brady seems less than impressed.
No, I really am like, I'm pondering. I mean, that whole infield fly, like the one pitch, 2 outs, but you never could have predicted that's the way that you would have got those 2 outs. Like, the whole thing was weird. So doesn't surprise me to throw in a blown save just for fun.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, why not? One more note on the bullpen. Since that game 1 against the Dodgers when they were blanked, the Padres on opening day, only a 200 batting average against the bullpen. And like we said, yesterday was the first time they were really tested, but everybody looked good.
Yeah, the first time that Rodney got in for a save.
Yeah, right. First arrow that we saw fired off. It was Hand, Quackenbush, Villanueva, Maurer, and Rodney yesterday in relief of Andrew Cashner. Just 1 hit allowed. That was it.
Right. I was glad they brought Maurer back today after the 2
home
runs.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Those back-to-back home runs.
Oh.
I mean, that was not the Maurer that we expected to see this season
Not
at
the
all.
One Andy Green wanted to see season, yeah. Man. But very important, build the confidence, get him back on track.
Right.
And
he
looked good yesterday. Had
he
a strikeout, too.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and in a tight game, not in some kind of blowout game where you can try to gain his confidence back when it doesn't really matter,
Which I think pitchers see through that. Like, you're trying to build my confidence, take me back out here when we're up by 10. No, that means nothing. It's pretty transparent.
Perdomo's like, hey, you took me in from single A and put me into a game trying to build my confidence when we're already down a dozen runs. Well, guess what? I'm going to give up six more. that'll show you.
They've improved since then, and yesterday they were the hero of the game. Hero of the Game is brought to you by the Hero Program, a new way to upgrade your home to save energy and water. Visit heroprogram.com to learn more. Now, the reason the bullpen was so important yesterday was because Andrew Cashner, with the start, only lasted 5 innings. It was 3 runs allowed on 7 hits. He struck out 5, only walked 1, so the command was there. But, Bill, is it time to worry about some of these starting pitchers not going that deep into games? It's the beginning of the year. Now is when they should be freshest.
Actually, I thought Cashner yesterday looked good in spurts and not good at other times. And I thought that when he started off an inning aggressively and went after hitters, that he looked pretty good. When somebody got on, he struggled.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we've seen for the last year now. And I hope it's correctable. I mean, but it is a concern. That is one concern to me with Cashner. When he's on a roll, he's as good as anybody.
Gosh, he does. He just looks so so powerful, so right. good, so in command, and then the wheels just come right. off. And
in total rhythm, when he's aggressive, when he's got nobody on, he can go through an inning as quick as anybody. But as soon as somebody gets on or a couple runners right. get on, the stuff changes. He starts throwing more breaking balls. The pitch count goes up. He has trouble throwing strikes. And I think that, boy, if they could ever find a way to address that, Andrew Cashner would be fine. But right now, it's a little tough to watch when there's runners on base.
He is difficult to watch. I find myself loving the emotion and yet hating the emotion at the same time, because in the same way, like that fire that we used to love out of Jake Peavy when he was here and the way that he would use his emotions to drive him and to get batters out, I feel like Cashner is trying to channel those same type of emotions to get guys out and to overpower them, and doesn't always work out as well for him.
Baseball, it's not football where you can get that adrenaline to channel it to chasing a quarterback. If right. baseball, it's a very fine line. Sometimes that adrenaline works. Sometimes it overtakes you, and that raw emotion leads to bad command, leads to missing your spots, leads to a lot
right.
of trouble.
Well, a starting pitcher has to have the adrenaline check that a quarterback has.
Right.
I mean, he has to, okay, he might take a hit, but he's got to get up for the next play and be right back to ground, to ground zero, to a spot where he can work from. Andrew, when he's on his game, he just races through innings. But you get a runner on, and things just seem to change. And then if there's a couple runners on, and he's given up a run, he really has a hard time, or he had a hard time last year, a little bit this year still, getting that final out in an inning.
Yeah, well, and when he let three guys get on straight before, we
right.
got the crazy infield fly, that, one of those runs was attributed to him. He didn't give it up, but, he got the earned run. I felt like this was our first real opportunity to watch Andy Green, really manage, mm-hmm. Like, when you're getting blown out or when you're blowing people out, the manager's role, I think, can be something that is maybe overvalued.
I would have gone and got him, to be perfectly honest. I wouldn't want him facing Ryan Howard right there, even if Ryan Howard's just
– Oh, no, I agreed with the decision, right, right. but I liked that we right. got to watch Andy do some –
The decision existed right. for once.
Some,
right.
some strategery going
right.
on there. And I think he bringing in the bullpen guys and watching how he kind of manages the bullpen and how it worked out. And then
Brad
dropping
Hand, who wasn't there in Peoria all spring training, a guy who just showed up a couple of days ago. That's a lot of faith to put into someone you just met, bases loaded, nobody out, in a game that you're trying to open a series with a win.
Right. Very interesting. I'd like to, the question I would have asked Andy yesterday is, when you brought in Hand, did you see them bringing up Ruff? Were you thinking that was a possibility?
I'm sure he did.
That early in a game, that early in a season, you might have thought about it, but I don't think you're expecting it.
Yeah, I'm curious too.
Or it pushes the envelope. Even if they don't do it, then you have the platoon split in your advantage with Howard at the plate.
Right. It's like, right. I'm daring you to keep
right.
Howard in the game
exactly.
right now.
Right.
That early in the game, especially. Well, we'll talk more about Andrew Cashner a little bit later in the show, because I believe we're trying to get Mike Petriello of MLB.com. He's an advanced stats writer who's had a really good story today about fastball velocity and why how hard and how fast you throw is only half the story. So that could be something we can talk about with how it applies to Andrew Cashner as well. So we'll see if we can get him on. Let us know what you think about Andrew Cashner and what you're hoping he can turn a corner with by using hashtag PadresSH and, of course, jumping in on the combo at Padres.com/social hour. We're taking you up to the top of the hour. It's Padres at Phillies round two. But first, remember, be a part of Major League Baseball All-Star Sunday on July 10th at Petco Park. See your favorite celebrities, some baseball legends, and more. Maybe some celebrities like Brady Phelps might be there. Who knows? Tickets and more information at allstargame.com. We're back after this.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studio. Padres on the road, of course. Game two of their four-game set at the Phillies, looking to get back to 500. Well, not back to 500. We were corrected the other day. 0-0 is not mathematically 500. So looking to get to 500 for the first time this season. For the first time in our season, we are trying the Cholula Hotline. see if Blooper still remembers what that's like from last year. And joining us, calling in on that Cholula hotline, is Mike Petriello, a columnist from MLB.com. Mike, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys loud and clear.
Hey, it still works.
Thank you for saying my name correctly. I appreciate it.
We do research around here. We try our best to be a professional program. You're here with myself, Bill Center, Brody Phelps. Say hi, guys.
Hey, Mike.
That was hi, there are you.
Duo.
Yeah, so, Mike, we want to talk to you because you had a column that I caught on Twitter today, and it's titled How Thor Fernandez Make Fastballs Look Faster. And you were talking about Thor, of course, Noah Syndergaard, and Fernandez being Jose Fernandez of the Mets and Marlins, respectively, and how fastball velocity is only half the story. Why don't you give us a little bit of a Cliff's Notes version of that column that you put up?
Yeah, we've been using StatCast for some really interesting things this year and last year as well. And so the thing we were talking about today is what we've termed plate time. And what that is it's actually, I think, more useful in a lot of ways than velocity, because when you look at velocity, my 95 might not be the same as your 95, because we're both not pitching from the same spot on the mound. And I know people think, well, the mound is always 60 feet, 6 inches away, and that's not actually true, because we see guys with short extensions off the mound, long extensions off the mound, and now we can measure that. Some guys actually throw from 52 feet, some guys throw from 56 feet, and so really what we tried to do is figure out, based on the difference between the velocity and how many feet they're actually throwing, who gave the hitter the least amount of time to make a decision, and it turned out that Syndergaard and Fernandez are the two most difficult guys in baseball at that.
Mike, I think that's a great point, and it's one that I've thought for a long time, because I remember Don Drysdale when he was when he was pitching, and Chris Young now, who has a very late release point, and I think he's probably right there with the guys who's only throwing 52, 53 feet. It's not fastball velocity as much as it is where you release it, now you release it.
Yeah, exactly right. And what everybody wants to know, and unfortunately I can't tell anybody, is they want to know, wow, what would Randy Johnson look like that? Because he was throwing 100 and he was about a million feet off the mound. He was probably looking like he was throwing 110 miles an hour.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. I think a lot of people think about guys like that, a Randy Johnson or a Chris Young, who are just these tall, long-limbed guys. But it's not just about the limb length. It's also, you know, your stride length, I guess. Carter Capps, you said, was kind of the guy, the Marlins reliever, who almost jumps off the rubber. He's probably got some of the really makes up for a lot of play time just with that unique delivery. It doesn't always have to necessarily be someone who's just a big monster on the hill.
Well, you're absolutely right. We were talking about Chris Young, and he's 6'10", but he actually does not have a very good extension. He's slightly below average. He throws it, I think, pretty high up in the air, and maybe that helps with his deception, and that we know he's got a good spin rate, and that definitely helps, but he's not really extending those arms out. He almost short arms it a little bit, so he's actually costing himself a little bit of velocity. When I look at this list, the fact that he's not that far out in front of the mound and the fact that he doesn't throw that hard, it's actually at near the bottom of the list. He gives hitters the most time, or very close to the most time, to make that decision.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mike, the difference between the deception versus that stride and how, you know, how hitters might perceive, you know, maybe it works better for him to have that deception factor from his high release point than it would to have the longer stride and increase his speed.
Yeah, and I think that's true. We learned that last year. He's got high spin, and he throws a lot of high fastballs, and that's really how he survives, because we learned with high spin, the ball tends to defy gravity for a little bit longer. So it fools hitters. They swing under it, or they get a lot of pop-ups, and pop-ups are basically strikeouts. So that's how I got like Chris Young survived. Coming back to Carter Capps, who I totally ignored the question of before, he is a fascinating case. Unfortunately, he got hurt because of that hop. He jumped about eight and a third or so feet off the mound. So he was throwing it from 52 feet, and he already threw it 98 miles an hour. So we have a stat we call perceived velocity. You know, what does it look like to the hitter? To the hitter, it looks like he was throwing 101.5. He's the only guy who threw it harder than Aroldis Chapman last year. And unfortunately, he's hurt, so right. We can't watch him, but it really does make a big difference.
Mike, do you have any, like when you look at Capps, do you have any problems with how he throws that pitch?
I certainly understand why people would think it was illegal. I think that he got busted for it in the minors, and he had Major League Baseball, you know, clarify it more than once, and they said it was okay. So I guess it was okay, but, you know, you see his dominance last year. I wrote a story on this a couple months ago before he got injured. His swinging strike rate and his batting average against was not just really, really good. It was elite to the level we'd never seen before. And I like Carter Capps, but I don't think he's the best reliever who ever lived, so I have to think that played a part of it.
Do you think that there's going to be a new wave of pitchers coming through that are going to try to imitate what he's doing?
I think, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Happy Gilmore swinging the golf club. It's in a way that if you could do it, people would do it. that, because like after that movie, everybody tried to swing a golf club like that. I think it's just a lot harder than it looks. I think it's really difficult to jump off the mound like that and keep control. And great for Caps that he could do it, but I'd be surprised if a lot of other guys could pick that up as well.
Yeah, it's like everyone in the NBA now is going to try and just shoot three-pointers growing up because of Steph Curry. You need to have that unique skill set and that tools, the tools in your toolbox to pull that off. Now, Caps is certainly an interesting case. You inspired me, Mike, to then apply. We were talking about Andrew Cashner here on the Padres staff last segment. And earlier, I looked him up on StatCast because he and Syndergaard, who is top of your list or top of StatCast's list in terms of the average extension and the average perceived speed of pitching, and they're both 6'6". They're both, you know, powerful right-handers. And Syndergaard has an extension of about 6 feet 11 inches, and his perceived fastball is about a mile and a half faster than what he actually throws. Cashner's extension, only 5 feet 8 inches, according to what you guys have statistically, and his perceived fastball is almost 2 miles an hour slower than what the radar guns read. Do you think that maybe that's a little bit different? Not a Carter Capps thing, but maybe will guys start maybe a little bit longer of a stride length or a later release point? Because that's a big difference for two guys that are built very similarly.
Yeah, you're right. And I think Cashner's definitely not getting all of his length. I think you're right, but I think it's difficult for guys in the majors to make that change because that's a big change. It's going to mess with your release point. It's going to mess with your control. I can see guys in the minors or even high school or college looking at that and saying, oh, maybe this could help me as I grow and as I learn. I just don't know if I could see someone at the major league level who's focused on getting out making such a big change, because I don't know how anyone could do that overnight and not get lit up the next day.
Mike, have you looked historically at some other pitchers, you know, any Hall of Famers with their stride length and their velocity?
I wish we had StatCast data back to the beginning of time. As I've been telling people, as far as I'm concerned now, baseball history began in 2015 because that's the first year we have all these measurements.
You're not going to make Bill happy. He's an old-time historian here. That's not a good thing to say.
No. Hey, you know what? I'm a history major. I love baseball history. I would give anything to know how hard Babe Ruth hit the ball or how hard Sandy Koufax really threw it. Unfortunately, we've only got the data just from last year, so I think that's kind of a breaking point for us as far as what we can look at going forward.
But have you looked at a couple guys from the past and thought, wow, they'd look good in my charts? Are there any guys out there that you wish you knew more numbers on?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, Randy Johnson, I want to know everything about him. I'm never going to pronounce the name right, but Ted Kluszewski, who everybody remembers him with the ripped off shoulders and
right.
The biceps out. I want to know how hard he hit the ball. Like, every Hall of Famer, right? Frank Robinson, Babe Ruth, I don't know what they did. Unfortunately, you know, that's going to have to stay in legends for them.
Yeah, well, but now moving forward for the rest of baseball history, now, Mike, we have you giving us the numbers. So thanks for that. It was a very fascinating read, and thanks for coming on the show, too. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, look forward to checking out the rest of Mike's stuff the rest of the year. And a reminder, thanks to Cholula for providing us there on the hotline. Uncap real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap, and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. When we come back, we're going to take a look at today's game, the lineup, and the pitching matchup as well. It's Padres and Phillies coming up, but more social hour when we come back.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Our thanks again to Mike Petriello for joining us from MLB.com, talking about perceived velocity versus fastball velocity. One cool thing that he acknowledged on Twitter after that story went live on MLB.com, it would be the opposite for breaking balls and off-speed pitches. You want more distance, so there's more time for the ball to break. You want less distance with a fastball, so there's less time for a hitter to react.
Take that, Syndergaard.
Math, science. Ah, oh, it's so much fun. We talked about how that related to Andrew Cashner, and a couple of you chimed in using hashtag PadresSH and at Padres.com/social hour as well. And a couple of tweets. We don't have to go into too much depth here, but we have Tim Arzaga, SD Hat Guy, saying, we asked fans, what do you want to see more out of Cashner? Said, I'd like more consistency out of him, has a tendency to flash pitching brilliance in between bouts of poor command. Kind of what you touched on, Bill, using the brilliance that we see here and there more often. Friar Fever, he doesn't care. He wants Andrew Cashner to throw it fast and strong or nice and slow. Whatever gets the outs is fine with him. I think anybody would take that. Padres Geekster says she loves the Cashner passion, but it must be harnessed and channeled like some other pitchers have done so before as well. So we'll see it now 4 more days down the road in the rotation, but something for him to work on from yesterday for sure.
I think that he could take a plus though from yesterday because his stuff looked alive again.
He was touching 99
right,
by some readings.
Right, and I like it when he throws hard early in the game. Last year he was 94, 95. He wasn't up in that
perceived velocity of about 91.
Yeah, right. But I mean,
nice.
Kashner last year, his velocity dropped off from where it was as a reliever.
Yeah.
And I think he's one of those guys. He's just got to let it go. I really do. I think with him, it's fastball, and then everything else works off the fastball.
Were you going to make a Frozen reference there? I see it in your face, Brady. That was so close.
A 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and you can't say let it go without me
thinking of
Elsa.
Let it go. All right. Maybe just singing that to Andrew Cashman before his next start will be the key that unlocks everything.
That'll be the key to make him punch you in the face if you do that.
I won't be volunteering. I don't think Bill will be near the front of the line for that job
I'll
either.
Sing it.
All right, we'll send Brady. Let's talk about today's game. And again, Padres-Phillies game 2, Robbie Erlen versus Charlie Morton. And the lineup that the Padres will be sending out against Morton looks a little bit like this, brought to us by United. It's John Jay in his 7-game hitting streak to start the season, leading off in center field. Spangenberg at second. Matt Kemp playing right. Brett Wallace gets the start today at first base again and hitting cleanup. Will Myers not in the lineup. Melvin Upton Jr. in left. Derek Norris catching. Alexei Ramirez, shortstop, hitting seventh. Alexi Amarista at third base, hitting eighth. And then Erlen pitching. Another day in their lineup
after
Andy
Green
wants the consistent lineups, and we're getting another
group. It is surprising
to
see Wallace hitting fourth. I mean, that's not your optimum cleanup hitter, but it is but it is a left-handed bat against Charlie Morton, who has great splits against right-handers. And also has a pretty good track record against the Padres.
I think you won't be as kind, Brady, in your wording for Brett Wallace as the cleanup hitter.
I just think it's funny that a guy that, you know, a casual fan of the Padres would be like, I'm sorry, who? Who's the cleanup hitter of the Padres? I don't think that he's a household name yet. But good on him for getting in. And I think I already made my opinion pretty clear about this 7-day rest day. I think that's a little bit silly. But then again, that's me making, you know, basically what I'm doing is I make fun of people on Twitter. Everybody's smarter than the manager. Everybody's smarter than the GM. Like, everybody knows more than Andy Green. Everybody knows more than Preller. And these guys are morons, you know, is the perception. And so that's essentially what I'm saying. But so obviously they know more than I do.
I think there's a protocol in here. I really do. One, that he is coming off of wrist surgery.
Right.
Didn't play more than 3 or 4 days in a row in spring training. I think that he's played 7. Let's give him a day. Now, if he feels good, play him 10 in a row, then play him 15 in a row. I think there's a little bit of a protocol.
I prefer the conspiracy theories, Bill. Sorry. You can talk protocol all you want. I would like to.
Well, we have
so you're from the grassy knoll, Eric.
It's a little before my time, but yes.
Did you guys see that Pete Rose signed someone's baseball a couple days ago? Said sorry for being
the
second shooter
or something.
I was
in the grass, you know.
Yeah, just blame him for everything. Jesse Agler, the former occupant of this chair, is in Philadelphia.
I've heard of him.
Today's call today. Yeah, he's a decent guy. He just tweeted in regard to this Will Myers situation, regarding off days for regulars, Andy Green made a good point. In spring, guys play 2-3 days in a row, just easing them in. So it seems not so much the conspiracy and more just by design.
I agree with that. I totally agree with Andy on this one.
If I was hiding something, that's exactly what I would say too.
Of course it is. Of course you are. Brett Wallace, though, good numbers against Charlie Morton in his career. 4-for-8 against Morton in the
last 500,
last
Bill.
Yeah,
and just like Amarista, the team leader.
Brett Wallace is a very good hitter against right-handed pitching, not a very good hitter against left-handed pitching. I think this is a spot where you
right.
use him.
It doesn't matter what the common fan knows or doesn't know.
Right.
This guy's hitting 500 against him.
Yeah.
Of course he should be the cleanup hitter.
When he goes,
an idiot would say otherwise.
When he goes 3-for-5 with 2 home runs today, we're going to bring you back on the show tomorrow
let's talk more about it.
Also, John Jay, if you're looking for him to extend that hitting streak, he's hitting .474 for his career and 19 at-bats against Morton. So maybe
solid
maybe
chances
a good bit
to
there.
Go for game 8, huh?
Pretty good. There's a brand new experience at Petco Park this season. Check out the newest space inspired by San Diego's beach lifestyle, the Craft Pier presented by Ballast Point and the San Diego Beach. These new spaces can hold anywhere from 30 to 500 guests. To book the space, visit Padres.com/groups. When we come back, we're breaking down today's pitching matchup right here on Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
That's where we are, getting you set for Padres-Phillies game two. Here in this AMR studio, Padres Geekster on Twitter asking, Bill, she says you look baffled regarding the Let It Go Frozen references. Do you know what
no,
Frozen is?
I have a granddaughter. I know what Frozen is.
Okay, just making sure that you...
No,
yeah.
No.
Are you?
I was not baffled. I was just wondering how he brought that into this conversation.
He brought it in, not me. I just,
yeah, but you jumped on
I thought it in my head, yeah. And I restrained right. myself from singing Elsa.
Never restrain. Right, always. Well. All right. This can go into a Frozen conversation 10 minutes long. So we're going to stop it right there and instead talk about today's pitching matchup. The pitching matchup presented by Water and Sports Physical Therapy, the official physical therapists of the San Diego Padres. It's Robbie Erlin after that beautiful 3 2/3 that he threw at Colorado against Charlie Morton, who came in and he had a one start, also 3 2/3 innings. Did not go the way that Robbie Erlin's did. Morton now sitting with a nice and pretty 14.73 ERA, while Erlin has yet to allow a run, only having given up one hit in those 3 2/3 innings. How do you guys see this one shaking out? Who has the advantage?
Well, to me, I was happily surprised by how Erlin pitched in Colorado. Ballparks, I mean, he's a fly ball pitcher. Or a ground ball pitcher, and he's had trouble in ballparks like Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Colorado. And I was very happy to see the mix and what he had in Colorado. And I'm a huge advocate of Robbie Erlin. I'd love to see him make it. I'd love to have him see a good start here.
He's in the major leagues. He made it.
Right. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, be in the major leagues.
He has Brady's stamp of approval.
Right.
I know what you mean, Bill. I'm just giving you a hard time. I like him, too, and I hope that he also – I don't think Morton is obviously as bad as his 14-plus ERA represents.
No.
And I frankly don't think Erlin is as good as his zero ERA, you know, which is leading the team, by the way, the zero ERA. I don't think that he's as good as that. So I think that we'll see somewhere in the middle there, and I hope that Erlin edges him out, obviously.
Right. Robbie last year, I mean, for what he was, he was not the favorite of the two managers last year. And I think that affected him. And I think when he came to spring training this year, he had a completely different outlook, that he had a new page. And
the outlook of, thank God, Bud Black is gone?
Well, I don't think that – Buddy was not a big favorite of Robbie Erlin's. Or Robbie was not a favorite of Bud Black's. And I think that this year he came with, I won't say a new attitude, but a new feeling that I got an opportunity.
Yeah, and Erlin, six of the Phillies in today's lineup have faced him. They've got a combined 2-for-14 against Ryan Howard, Michael Franco are hitless against Erlin in his career. So maybe today
tough on
is the day.
Tough left-handers.
He's tough. So we'll see how he does. That was the Water and Sports Physical Therapy pitching matchup. They're San Diego's leader in aquatic and land therapy with 7 convenient locations. Visit waterandsportspt.com. We come back to put the finishing touches on today's episode of Padres Social Hour.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Last time we had Brady Phelps in the show here in the AMR studio, we talked about how he had this idea for a hat, custom made, that he sent to Bryce Harper but never monetized. Bryce Harper ended up getting that hat made by someone
right.
else and wearing it. In front of the world. So Brady today decided to make another hat, and this time you actually went through with it. It's a Make the Padres Brown Again hat. I guess you just couldn't let the Bryce Harper thing go, huh?
I guess not. I mean, I've always wanted, of course, I've been a big supporter of the Bring Back the Brown movement. And
no.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, actually, last time you didn't hate it as much as you used to. You actually said you started to like the...
I don't hate the brown as much as I hate the yellow That All was right.
So you hate the lettering but not the hat. Right. That's fair.
What I want next time you guys are here together is a hat for Bill made by Brady. You can choose the same.
I'll see what I can do.
It'll be fun. Padres and Phillies coming up next. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, join me, Bob Scanlon, and Chris Ello for the next Padres Social Hour. Thank you, Brady. Thank you, Bill. Blooper, you did okay. See if the Padres can get to 500 today. Thanks for watching Padres Social Hour.